Have you ever been tempted to give up or check out in your walk with God? Have you been at a place in life's journey where you felt overwhelmed and overshadowed by life's obstacles, setbacks, or heartaches? It could be you're at such a place right now, a place where you are hungering for hope. If so, then Hope Along the Journey podcast is a ministry of encouragement created specifically with you and others just like you in mind. And now, here is your host, Mark Cravens, to share a word of encouragement with you today.
Do you want God to do a new thing in your life in this new year? If so, then you're listening to the right podcast today. Hi, I'm Mark Cravens, your podcast host for Hope Along the Journey. And welcome, my friends, today. And we're glad that you're listening in. Today, we're going to be talking about God doing a new thing in our lives. But before we get to that, I just want to encourage all of you that are listening to please go to the website and sign up for the newsletter. We're going to be sending out the newsletter later in the month of January, and we'd love to have you on our newsletter mailing list. We'll be emailing that to you, so please go to the website at www.hopealongthejourney.org, and we will have a pop-up screen that comes up that says stay in touch, and that's what we want to do. So put your email address in there, and we're going to start doing that. One of my resolutions this year is to do better about getting a newsletter out, and so I'm going to be working on that to do one monthly. Eventually, I'd love to get to the point where we could put a newsletter out a couple times a month, but right now we're going to be shooting for a monthly newsletter that's going to give you a list of like upcoming episodes. There's going to be some insider information that I think you're going to enjoy and appreciate. So again, go to the website at hopealongthejourney.org, and when that screen pops up and says stay in touch, please put in your email address. Also, we'd love to hear from you. So if you have a moment, please drop us an email at hopealongthejourney@gmail.com. That's hopealongthejourney@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram. You can look us up there. I also have a personal page, Mark Cravens, on LinkedIn, and I would love to connect with you on LinkedIn as well. If you have a prayer request or a prayer need, shoot it to us by email. We want to help you bear your burdens. If you have a concern or a prayer request, we want to help you bear that burden and pray for you. I recently preached here at my church from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and I want to read this passage, and then I want to share with you what I think are four crucial keys to seeing God do a new thing in our lives. So Isaiah 43, verse 16 says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." God says, I'm going to do a new thing. If you look at this, the time period here, we're looking at somewhere around 755, 700 BC during the time of Isaiah. A lot has been going on. There's been good kings. There have been bad kings. There have been great things that have happened. There have been some terrible things that have happened. And God is encouraging his people because it's not going to be that many more years before he is going to be carrying them away into Babylonian captivity, because he's going to punish them for the sins that they have just completely, completely failed to turn away from. And they have not sought the Lord, and they have not been faithful. But what God is doing is he's giving these writings to Isaiah, so when they go in captivity, there's going to be hope for them. And so this is what it relates to, is God is saying, even though you're going to be in captivity, while in captivity, I want you to know I'm going to do a new thing. And of course, what that new thing would be is he would bring them out of Babylonian captivity and return them miraculously back to their homeland. They would rebuild the temple. They would rebuild the city. They would rebuild the walls. It would just be a miraculous thing how God would bring his people back once again. God was going to do a new thing. But what this teaches us, it teaches us that God is a God of new beginnings. Isn't that nice to know? Isn't that great to know at the beginning of this new year? He is a God of new beginnings. And he is a God who desires to do a new thing, not only in the life of his nation, Israel, but among his people, the church, and even individually in our lives. God wants to do a new thing. So let's look at these four crucial keys. And I want to give them to you very quickly, and just maybe you can jot them down or think about them later on sometime. But let's look at them, because I think they're very crucial. Number one, you need to pause and remember the greatness of God. Pause and remember the greatness of God. You see, he starts out by reminding them of the Exodus, how that the Lord makes a way in the sea, how he made a path through the mighty waters. All of this, he is taking them back on a tour of history, if you please, and tells them about how they passed through the waters, how he miraculously brought them and delivered them through the Red Sea, and then as the armies of Egypt pursued them into the Red Sea. Go back and read it for yourself. Moses raises up the rod again, and the waters collapse upon that mighty army. Chariots, horsemen, all of them, all the soldiers that are in the middle of the Red Sea are killed. Like God said, like a wick, I just extinguish them. And so he's reminding them that he is a God who is all-powerful. He is a God who is great. Now, I'm just telling you, this is so crucial, because so many times the limitations that we place upon ourselves come to us as a result of poor or incorrect thinking about God. Many times the limits that we place upon what God can do in our lives are directly related to our thinking about God. Who do we believe God to really be? Tozer was the one who made the statement that has been so quoted, that what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And that's true. What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. J.B. Phillips, many years ago, wrote a book entitled, Your God is Too Small. I think that's probably true in a lot of people's lives. But in the introduction of this book that he wrote, he stated that his purpose in writing this book, Your God is Too Small, that here was the primary reason. He said, to expose the inadequate conceptions of God which still linger unconsciously in many minds, and which prevent our catching a glimpse of the true God. I want to say this again. He said, I wanted to expose the inadequate conceptions of God which still linger unconsciously in our minds and which prevent our catching a glimpse of the true God. He went on further to write, the trouble with many people today is that they have not found a God big enough for modern needs. While their experience of life has grown in a score of directions and their mental horizons have been expanded to the point of bewilderment by world events and by scientific discovery, their ideas of God have remained largely static. So we got to go back and remember and ponder the greatness of God. And maybe if our God is too small, we need to read the Bible and rediscover the greatness of God. Number two, refuse to live in the past. He says these words again. Go back and what he says. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, push the pause button there, because it almost sounds contradictory on the surface. I mean, he's just told his people to remember what he did in the past when he delivered them out of Egypt so that they could have a clearer understanding of his greatness. So what is he saying here? Well, what God is saying here is that he doesn't want them to dwell in the past. Don't just sit around and remember the good old days, or relegate God to just past performances or great historical events that God did for his people, or maybe even for you and me in the past. Don't live there. Refuse to live in the past. And so God wants to do a new thing, one even greater than the things done of old. So, you know, I think about Gideon, whenever the time of the judges was taking place, and the people were under such hardship because of other nations that had come in and had taken them captive and held them prisoner because of their sin. And when the angel appeared to Gideon in the book of Judges, Gideon says this statement. He says, "Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about? Where are all the wonders? Where's all these wonderful things that our fathers told us about?" You know, if we're not careful, we live in the past and fail to realize God wants to do wonderful things right now in our life. God wants to do a new thing in our life. God wants to give us a new beginning and show himself as he has shown himself in the past. He wants to do it now, but you cannot live in the past. I know people who live in the past when it comes to the trauma and the heartache of their past. If you listen to them long enough, they pretty well surround their lives and talking about is what happened to them in the past. There are other people who talk about with nostalgia the past, how great it was, how wonderful it was. If only we could somehow go back to the past. But whether your past was filled with beautiful memories or whether your past was filled with trauma, I want to tell you something. God does not want us living there. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants us to live today experiencing new things in our lives. So refuse to live in the past. Number three, here's a third crucial key from this passage. And that is, if you got to recapture God's promise to do a new thing, look again what he says. Behold, that's a key word. It means, hey, open your eyes. Quit looking at whatever you're looking at. Look over here. I want to tell you something that's so important. So behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and the beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. Behold, I will do a new thing. And that's important for us to claim that promise, to recapture this promise that God wants to do a new thing in our lives. Now, I know because I know how God works. There's somebody listening today who needs a fresh start. I mean, there's somebody here today that needs a reset spiritually. I'm talking to somebody today who needs to put the past behind you. Some of you need to quit dwelling there, whether it be good or bad, and you need to reclaim this promise that God wants to do a new thing in our lives. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. New things and new beginnings can be a bit scary or risky. Because when we enter into this new beginning with God, when we start on this new path of a new thing with God, we don't know for sure altogether maybe where that is going. I've been praying much here at the beginning of the year and claiming this promise that God would do a new thing. But, you know, sometimes God doing a new thing in our lives means we have to embrace the risk of whatever it is that God is going to do. You know, I recently read John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life. If you've never read that book, you need to read that book. But in this book, he talks about exploding the myth of safety. And so Let me just read this to you, this paragraph to you, So listen carefully, these two paragraphs. Therefore, risk is woven into the fabric of our finite lives. We cannot avoid risk even if we want to. Ignorance and uncertainty about tomorrow is our native air. I mean, let me just pause there. That's so true. Ignorance and uncertainty about tomorrow is our native air. None of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us even know what the remainder of this day will hold. So he goes on to say, all of our plans for tomorrow's activities can be shattered by 1,000 unknowns, whether we stay at home under the covers or ride the freeways. One of my aims is to explode the myth of safety and somehow deliver you from the enchantment of security, because it's a mirage. It doesn't exist. Every direction you turn, there are unknowns and things beyond your control. The tragic hypocrisy, he further states, is that the enchantment of security lets us take risks every day for ourselves, but paralyzes us from taking risks for others on the Calvary Road of love. We are deluded and think that it may jeopardize a security that in fact does not even exist. The way I hope to explode the myth of safety and to disenchant you with the mirage of security is just simply to go to the Bible and show you that it is right to risk for the cause of Christ, and that is not to waste your life. Claim the promise of a new beginning, embracing whatever risk you may feel it may be, because there's risk everywhere. But if I'm going to embrace risk, I want to take the risk of following Jesus Christ and his incredible plans and purposes for my life. One more thing today, and that's this. If you're going to have a new beginning, if you're going to see God do a new thing in your life, then you do need to rest and rejoice in God's power to bring this new thing to pass. So we come back kind of full circle here, because the power to bring a new thing in your life is not in you. The power is not within you to create the new beginning that God wants to give you. It's not just solely about mustering up a bunch of, writing out your goals and setting down a bunch of discipline. And how many of us could say that we have done that cycle again and again and again? You see, in all reality, the power lies within God. And we need to rest in his promise and rejoice in it and trust him and allow him to bring this new thing to pass in our lives. So I ask you today, do you long for God to do a new thing in your life during this new year? Do you? Do you really deeply desire him to do something so unmistakable that you and everyone around you will have to say, man, this is a God thing that's going on. This is the Lord's doing. Then remember, our God is a God of new beginnings today and is doing something new all around us and longs to do something new within us and through us. So I'm going to pray for you, that God will open in your eyes and my eyes and all of our eyes this vision of seeing God do a new thing in our lives. Let's pray. Father, do this new thing in our lives. You are a God of new beginnings. You are a God who is always doing new things in our life. So, Lord, help us to reflect on your greatness. Help us, Lord, to refuse to live in the past, whether that be positive or negative. Lord, help us to recapture this promise for a new beginning, and then to live in joy and expectancy and rest and trust in you to truly do this new thing in our life. Help us, Lord, to be willing to embrace the risk. Help us to quit playing it safe. Lord, as we pray this prayer, we're reminded of a phrase that is so often stated, and that is, if you're going to walk on the water, you got to get out of the boat. And the truth of the matter is, too many of us are living in the boat, trying to play it safe when it's not even safe in the boat. The only safe place is for us to be in step with your will and your direction for our life. So God, do a new thing in all of our lives. For your glory, for your honor, and for the kingdom of heaven's sake, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We'd love to hear from you again. Drop me a line, shoot me an email. We'd just love to hear from you. God bless you in this new year. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. If you look to Him, He will help you find hope along the journey. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you would like to know more about Hope Along the Journey, or if you would like to make a donation to show your support and appreciation for this ministry, then visit our website at hopealongthejourney.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more Hope Along the Journey.